The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I'm not really worried about the numbers I put up. Really, in my mind, it's what I expect.
Where he is right now is light years ahead of where I thought he'd be.
In the Big Ten Conference, get ready to play. They will kick off their season this weekend. I'm Wendy Nix with Greg McElroy and Todd McShay. Everybody waiting to see what Justin Fields will do in his second year as the Buckeye quarterback. Last season, the former Georgia QB took his new team to the college football playoff semifinals, and the expectations remain sky high heading into Saturday's opener against Nebraska. Earlier this month, Fields addressed goals for 2020, saying, "To be honest, my personal motivation is just to win games, because I know if we win games and I do my job and we all do our jobs, I think everything will take care of itself. So I think our main focus is just to win our first game and beat Nebraska." Fields will look to build on the historic season he had in 2019. He became the sixth player in FBS history to throw for 40 touchdowns and run for 10 in a single season. The company, pretty good. Guys like Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Marcus Mariota. Greg and Todd, we'll take a minute to take a look at why everyone's so excited to see what Justin Fields can do. And we'll look at his top five plays from last season. There were plenty to choose from. We chose these, and we'll start with the long quarterback, the 51-yard touchdown run, Greg, against FAU.
Yeah, I mean, getting the season off started with a bang. I mean, you see that middle linebacker fold over the top. He sees it, the read, and he's out the gate. That open field speed and athleticism that he can complement with his arm as well is one of the things that makes him so dynamic and dangerous when on the move.
The touchdown pass to Jeremy Ruckert against Wisconsin, this tied in the Big Ten Championship.
First of all, it's a heck of a catch. But in terms of his ability to see the field, I like how he looks off the safety at first, comes back, and then finds his tight end down the middle of the field.
All right, Greg, a 57-yard touchdown pass to Chris Olave at Michigan.
Yeah, and it travels about 52 in the air down the right sideline, eyes away, right as you teach it. Had to hitch up 3-4 times, shows the arm strength. A little late on the throw, but on the money nonetheless. Him and Olave, one of the most dangerous combinations in football.
Let's go back to that game, that Wisconsin title game. Another touchdown pass, this one to KJ Hill.
Yeah, this tells you everything you need to know about Fields. His ability to extend plays, he's on the move. He sees the initial play is not going to work, and then he points to his receiver, Hill, and says, "Hey, no, back to the middle," and puts the ball right where it needs to be for six.
And finally, against Clemson in the national semis, Greg.
Yeah, and a beautiful throw here. A similar throw that didn't go his way at the end of the game, but Love aborted the fake on the play action, no problem, knows the middle of the field is vacated. He throws a strike for a beautiful touchdown. Should see plenty of that throughout the course of 2020.
Barring anything completely unexpected, Fields will certainly be in the Heisman conversation along with the likes of Trevor Lawrence. So we're nitpicking here, Todd. I mean, that's what we do. So where are the areas of improvement in the quarterback's game?
Yeah, I have him ranked as the number six overall prospect coming into this year. So I obviously think very highly of him, the number two quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. But there are areas to improve, and I'm actually excited for him to get a second year of game experience and to be able to learn how to get off of that primary receiver a little bit quicker. You watch him here. His eyes go right to where he wants to go initially, and this safety comes darting up about 10 yards and goes and makes that play. Could have been an interception. Here's another example. And Isaiah Simmons playing free safety as a linebacker. He's a freak. But the eyes get Simmons to the ball by staring down the receiver on the right side and not looking off Simmons at that free safety spot. That's what got Simmons to the spot and gave him that early jump to go get it. So for me, I think, Greg, he has an opportunity to really start to take his game to another level now that he knows the offense and can get from that first receiver and move to the second one a little bit quicker and not stare down the primary right away. Maneuver his eyes a little bit more, and that will be, to me, what will take his game from, you know, being a great player and a great college player to becoming an even better pro prospect.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to put together a top five list of highlight reel plays than it is to find plays where it's like, I wish he'd do this a little better. So, yes, we are nitpicking, but I'm going to kind of side with you, Todd. You kind of get him locked in on one receiver. I want to see him anticipate throws a little bit better, because if you look at the tape from last year, there were a few too many occasions which he just didn't cut it loose. Right here is wide open. Big Ten championship game. He's got plenty of field to the left. He holds it a hitch too long. He ends up throwing it behind his intended receiver. As a result, there's no run after catch for the most part, and Victor gets tackled there after a minimal gain. And this one, too, this is a sack or a fumble, what would have been a touchdown. You have a guy right in the middle of the back of the end zone. He hitches. If he would just anticipate that wide receiver winning in the back of the end zone, throw it high underneath the goalpost where only his guy can get it, it's a touchdown. Instead, it was a sack fumble, and Wisconsin was able to get the football. So those are the things that I'd like to see him do a little bit better, just anticipate and get rid of the ball just a touch quicker and allow those great receivers that he has to run in space and to make great plays on the ball.
To your point, Greg, though, when you look at that resume and you look at those plays back to back, you can see why people are so excited and anticipate big things from the quarterback. Having said that, as excited as we are to see Justin Fields and Ohio State take the field, they will not be the only Big Ten program in action. Of course, the entire conference getting back to work this weekend as we take a look at the schedule. Five teams ranked in the AP Top 25, and two of them will meet on Saturday night, that game on ABC. Michigan has won 16 straight games at Minnesota. That's the longest road win streak against a single opponent in Big Ten history. That's according to our friends at Elias. So, again, Justin Fields, a front runner in the Heisman conversation, but there are plenty of players, notable names to watch in the Big Ten, Todd, who aren't named Justin Fields. Let's go through some of them. We'll start with the quarterback.
Yeah, Tanner Morgan, to me, from Minnesota, is a lot of fun to watch, and I thought he got better as the season went on last year. He's, you know, he has average size. He has solid arm strength. He's not going to wow you with that aspect of his game, and he's not very mobile. But what I love about him, first of all, is how tough he is. Secondly, how he maneuvers inside the pocket and how he's willing to hang in there and stare down the gun barrel and make throws with defenders on him. And he knows that he's got to give his receivers an opportunity to go make plays, and he does that at a very high level.
Todd, I'm going to go with Joe Milton in Michigan, and it's because of the upside. Now, the guy's never played. I could have easily picked Sean Clifford at Penn State. I expect big things from him. But the one thing that's been holding Michigan back, in my opinion, the last couple years has been remarkably inconsistent quarterback play. Shea Patterson had some really bright moments, but Joe Milton was Jim Harbaugh's hand-picked predecessor to now step into the role as a starting quarterback for Michigan.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Rashad Bateman, too. You know, Jamar Chase isn't playing. He opted out from LSU. He's the number one receiver in the country. After that, I've got Bateman ahead of the two great wide receivers from Alabama, because I think he's a lot like a Juju Smith-Schuster or a Michael Thomas coming out of college. He's going to run a 4.55, and that's fine, but he averages 20 yards per catch, and the dude just knows how to get open and separate.
And how about this guy, one of the most exciting playmakers in college football, the Big Ten version of Jaylen Waddle, and it's Rondale Moore. Originally opted out, decided to opt back in, and my goodness, are we as college football fans excited to see this young man in action. The run after catch, the ability to contribute in the return game, the quickness, short term ability to get side to side and create separation for his quarterback. He's one of the best players in college football, pound for pound.
Going back to Ohio State, the cornerback Sean Wade, people are going to say, how do you have a first-round grade on a guy that's never been a full-time starter? Well, when you're playing behind Jeff Okuda and Damon Arnett, two corners that were first-round draft picks, and you're the number three guy, it's just time to step up. That's what they do at Ohio State. Four interceptions the last 2 years. Now he moves outside. He's going to have to take on that number one receiver. I'm excited to see how he elevates his game this year.
And I'm going to keep it in the Big Ten East. I'm going to say Shaka Toney. In the absence of Micah Parsons, who decided to opt out, this young man's going to have to step up and become the dominant force that we know he's capable of becoming. Really good at affecting the passer, has over 15 career sacks, and you need to see that number maybe get close to double digits this year, even though it's a shortened season. But if he has an impact on the opposing offense like that, this defense won't miss a beat in Micah Parsons' absence.
Well, you talked about Rondale Moore opting out, Greg, and then opting back in. There are some players of note that have opted out and stayed that way. They include Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons, Northwestern center Rashawn Slater also opting out, both among the top 30 of Todd McShay's 2021 NFL draft rankings. Maryland starting quarterback, at least from last season, Josh Jackson also opting out. Still to come on College Football Live. Find out how college football's most celebrated player, that's Trevor Lawrence, is actually doing more with less this season at Death Valley. And preseason contenders LSU, Georgia, and Oklahoma all had to replace greats at the quarterback position. We'll tell you which replacement QB is closest to carrying on the tradition. Still to come. The National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame proudly recognized the record 199 semifinalists for the 2020 William V. Campbell Trophy presented by Mazda. The award recognizes an individual as the absolute best football scholar-athlete in the nation for his combined academic success, football performance, and leadership. Congratulations to all the semifinalists. It was another week and another early exit for Trevor Lawrence. You can guess why. 73-7 blowout of Georgia Tech. The Heisman favorite passed for a career-high 404 yards and 5 TDs before he was pulled early in the second half. Here's Dabo Swinney on his quarterback's impact on this Clemson Tigers team.
He's obviously the most talented guy, but he's the hardest worker. I mean, he's going to be one of the last guys off the practice field, you know, it's, you know, and that just sets the standard for, he loves to be coached. He's so focused. When he's not in, he's not over there, you know, jacking around at the water cooler. You know, I mean, he's locked in watching the guy who's in, and he's not missing a rep. And it starts with his example that he sets every single day through his actions, through his work ethic, through his humility and his coachability, his attitude, his mindset every single day that he brings. And that just is contagious and infectious, you know, to the rest of the team.
Where's the checklist? That was last week, but Trevor Lawrence has all the qualities you're looking for. And looking at just the first five games of the last two seasons, he's improved in a number of areas, including nearly doubling his touchdown passes. Lawrence, the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy at Caesars William Hill. And Greg, obviously you played the quarterback position at a high level at Alabama. We've seen improvement even with the small sample size this season. What's impressed you most about Trevor Lawrence this time around?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you've been able to push back against Trevor Lawrence and just his candidacy as the best player in college football is the fact that he's been on an all-star team. He's been surrounded by a supporting cast, particularly at the wide receiver position, of future NFL first-round and second-round picks. However, this year, if you really look and dive a little deeper into his supporting cast, yeah, he has Travis Etienne, and Etienne is playing as well as he's ever played. But the wide receivers aren't as well-known as commodities. Yes, Amari Rodgers is there, but he's really primarily a slot receiver and not necessarily your alpha go-to guy on the edge with a lot of length and a lot of ability to make himself into a mismatch. So Trevor Lawrence has been smart with the football. Last year, turnovers plagued him. He's been a great, great, great thrower down the field for as long as I can remember. And I think he has definitely, Todd, stepped his game up to another level to make him now, I think, the best quarterback prospect we've seen since Andrew Luck. And that's saying an awful lot because there's been some good ones that have come out in recent years.
Yeah, to your point, Greg, I mean, you look at what he had last year with T. Higgins, DeAndre Overton, Justin Ross suffers the season-ending injury. That's 2,400 receiving yards. That's a remarkable amount of receiving yards to lose in three receivers. So what he's done this year has been awesome to watch. And I go back to the conversation I had with him for 30 minutes. He was sitting in his car, actually, and we had one of these Zoom calls. And just listening to him talk about social injustice, about preparing and getting guys together and trying to be ready for the season, even though you couldn't be in the building with COVID. And then just talking about the game and then seeing him on the field in that first game against Wake Forest and then just watching his tape as he's progressed this year, he is so much more in tune with what the defense is trying to do to him and then kind of dictating terms to the defense. And listen, this is an offense that throws a lot of balls underneath and get the ball out quickly. But when they throw the ball down the field, you can see he's looking off safeties. He's seeing the whole field. He can go from one side to the other side with his progression reads. I think he's taken his game from a great level to an elite level this year and just solidified himself, obviously, as a Heisman candidate and the front runner, but also as the hands-down number one overall pick in the upcoming draft. It's so easy. Just lock it in right now. I don't care who's drafting.
It always amazes me to hear the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck because, Greg, to your point, and Todd, I know you've said you agree, there's been some tremendous quarterbacks to come out. I mean, that is saying something. And the future, no question, bright for Trevor Lawrence. As for the other college football playoff preseason contenders, they have had their work cut out for them. It really is the nature of the beast. Take a look at what these teams have had to do. LSU, Oklahoma, and Georgia all had to replace quarterbacks who were drafted to play at the next level in the National Football League. Now, Georgia in particular, Jake Fromm left, and then we just saw a revolving door, musical chairs, Todd, if you will. Kirby Smart has doubled down on Bennett as his quarterback, but what have you seen from the young player in the early going?
Yeah, everyone I know in Athens this week is saying, oh, JT Daniels and bring back John Mathis. To me, he played a really good game. He just had a few mistakes. And when you go back and watch the tape, the mistakes were critical, and I think you saw his lack of height and inability to see the entire field at times showed up. But again, they were leading in this game for the vast majority. But you watch Alabama and what they did to him. They didn't try to really rush him. It was controlled rushing. Stay in your gaps, get your eyes up, and then get your hands up to affect the passing lane when he goes to throw the ball. And that led to a few tips, and you saw that interception there. Again, they show five potential rushers, drop one off the edge, and they only rush four, but he feels rushed because there was a threat of a blitz there. But he's with four-man rush, you've got seven dropping. You got to fit into tight windows. That wasn't a bad throw, but it goes off the fingertips of his receiver for another interception. And here, they throw a game at him with a linebacker defensive end game where the linebacker comes off the edge and he winds up rolling out to the side of the pass rusher, and then that created chaos and ultimately the interception on that play. So there were a handful of plays where he didn't handle himself well. But overall, again, Georgia was leading a good chunk of this game. They were in it, and the score is deceptive if you didn't really study it. They played really well on that side of the ball for the majority of the game. They just couldn't finish it off, and the turnovers were really killer.
Well, they were, and just like so often the case, you often get too much credit and too much blame as the quarterback. Listen, Greg, I know you have the call on Oklahoma-TCU. That's a noon game on ABC coming up Saturday. They, too, have had some questions at quarterback. What have you seen from Rattler so far?
Well, Spencer Rattler has done a pretty dang good job, given the circumstances of having to basically play in a COVID environment as a redshirt freshman. That's almost impossible to do. And I think he's actually handled it quite well. There have been some really great moments where he's accurate throwing the ball down the field. He's athletic enough to make guys miss and to extend plays. But there also have been some moments in which it's cropped up at the most inopportune times he's thrown interceptions. The best example is probably against Iowa State. They have a nice little two-minute drill going. He throws a deep one, forces a deep one at double coverage. It's picked off. Game over. Last week against Texas, or 2 weeks ago against Texas, had an interception where he threw it to a defensive end and a dropper, didn't see the window, locked in on it, threw the slant, ends up getting picked. Next thing, he comes back out, next drive, ends up getting hit, bad ball security, ball's fumbled. So if you can just eliminate the minor mistakes and the interceptions and the turnovers, he's having an incredibly good freshman year. And I think for the most part, given the circumstances, he's handled what is stepping into massive shoes at the quarterback spot at Oklahoma quite well.
Think about what he's been asked to do, especially in this current climate. It's not easy. Again, the Sooners and TCU, a noon Eastern kickoff on ABC. You can see Greg McElroy as well. Still to come on College Football Live, we're going to go down to Rocky Top. Tennessee has lost back-to-back games. They're out of the top 25, and this weekend it doesn't get any easier when Alabama comes calling. Greg will tell you what's going wrong. With the Big Ten opening its season this weekend, we'll have a season opener for you Saturday. Number 21 Minnesota host Jim Harbaugh's 18th-ranked Wolverines. They'll play for the Little Brown Jug. Reese Kirk and the College Game Day crew will also be there, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and, as always, the ESPN app. Let's take a look now at What's Your Beef, brought to you by Old Trapper. And, Greg, we'll start with you. What stood out to you from last weekend?
Man, it was just so disappointing to see what happened to Jarrett Garantano and really, for the most part, the entire Tennessee offense. Jarrett Garantano threw two pick sixes to the house in the first half of that game. What was a blowout loss to the Kentucky Wildcats. Then they put in JT Shroud as backup. He threw an interception on his opening drive. So they have a lot of woes at the quarterback position. I think that's really the only position that's holding back Tennessee right now from getting up to the upper echelon of the SEC East. However, at this moment, they're still a distant third at the very best when it comes to Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, and others.
Yeah, that was a tough watch with Tennessee. But I had the UNC-Florida State game, and it was frustrating in the first half. I understand it. Mack Brown and the coaching staff came in, and they wanted to run the football. They have one of the best running back tandems in the country with Michael Carter, Javonte Williams. And they saw Florida State get shredded earlier in the year, up the middle especially, in run defense. But they just couldn't get away from it fast enough. They finally opened things up in the second half and got the offense going. But it was a tough loss for a team that came in number five in the country and played so well, got real close at the end, but a couple drops and key mistakes really wound up hurting them.
I hope we're not the College Football Live jinx. Mack Brown joined us to talk about that game prior to. Again, Big Ten starting this weekend. We'll preview what to look for tomorrow. See you then.